We turn now to the week in sports, and for that we have our very own Tony Cox. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Farah. You know, this week we are asking, what makes athletes do the things they do? For example, what makes a boxer keep boxing past his prime or his skills? What makes a baseball player turn down $140 million during a recession? And for goodness sake, what makes a professional football player decide to carry a gun? For answers, we turn to the one person we know whose job it is to find the answers, none other than New York Times sports columnist Bill Roden. Hey, Bill.
Hey, the great Tony Cox. I'm scratching my head, Tony, each one of those questions.
Well, let's start with this one, okay? In baseball, and C.C. Sabathia, he is a Cy Young Award winner, arguably the top free agent in baseball this year, turned down $140 million from the New York Yankees, only to reportedly accept $161 million over 7 years. He held out, Bill, for $20 million more. Is pitching really worth that kind of cash?
As Dwayne Thomas said, evidently. Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. Brian Cashman flew out to Sabathia's home, was talking with Sabathia in his living room, and right then offered $20 million. I mean, you know, Sabathia clearly was not crazy about coming to New York. He wanted to stay in California where he's from. And the Yankees just made him an offer that he couldn't refuse. I mean, It's mind-boggling, Tony, just the amount of dollars.
It absolutely is. You know, what about this? If Sabathia does sign for that amount, what does it do to, or maybe for, let's say, the Angels free agent slugger Mark Teixeira? The Washington Nationals are already dangling $160 million in front of him, Baltimore $150 million. And what about the Dodgers' Manny Ramirez?
Well, all the people you mentioned are going to get paid. But I think this is... So the question is, well, how could these teams afford to do this? Well, what's going to happen? And it's sort of like the way society is in general, where these kind of heavy hitters are going to get paid. But where you're going to see the cuts are going to be sort of in these the middle class of ball players. A lot of guys are going to get released who are coming up on contracts that would pay them $5-6 million. They're gonna be what they call non-tendered contracts. They may get waived. They may get released, invited back to spring training at minimum salary. So it's not like you're paying a lot of money for these heavy hitters and then paying a lot for the middle guys too. The middle guys, middle and lower guys, are going to get cut and waived. And they're going to rely more heavily on rookies.
You know, it's just crazy. Chicago offering Jake Peavy apparently something like $18 million or more, and at the same time that the company files for bankruptcy. I can't figure it out. Yeah. Let's move on to another topic. A few days before his fight with Manny Pacquiao, Oscar De La Hoya's statue was unveiled at the Staples Center here in Los Angeles. So now he has a likeness near one of Magic Johnson and Wayne Gretzky. Oscar was there at the unveiling being honored, and then a few days later he jumped into the ring, and you know what happened. He got hammered. Unable to answer the bell for the ninth round. So here's the question. What is his legacy? Because there's disagreement about that around here at News and Notes. How would you rank De La Hoya with other fighters in his weight class?
Well, he looks like that statue they unveiled. Oh. That's what he looked like in that last fight. But, you know, Oscar was I'd say he was a great champion, but he was a lot like Sugar Ray Leonard in terms of what he did for the sport and for the lower divisions. And he was the golden boy. He paved the way for a lot of big money fights. And I think that in sports now, particularly in this climate, you have to rank people in terms of commerce and finance. And Oscar was the golden boy. He made it possible for a lot of fighters to get a lot of great paydays.
You know, you're absolutely right about that. In fact, he holds the record $700 million total for 19 fights on HBO pay-per-view events. And even this fight pulled in 1.25 million subscribers, which puts him right at the top. Deserving of a statue or not, his pocketbook is certainly going to go into the Hall of Fame. All right, let's talk about something else. Guns and athletes. The Plaxico Burress story still going on. We all know by now that the New York Giants receiver shot himself in the leg while partying at a Manhattan nightclub. So the first thing people asked was, reasonably, what was he doing with a gun at the club in the first place? But an interesting answer, Bill Roden, came this week from Miami Dolphins linebacker Joey Porter, who defended his boy Burress with this comment. Until you've been in a situation where you've been robbed at gunpoint, or you've had a gun waved in your face, or you've been carjacked, you really don't know what it feels like, end quote. So, Bill, does he have a point?
Well, yeah, he does. I mean, that's true, that until that happens to you, you don't know. And it's an unfortunate reality that a lot of the athletes are targeted because, number one, they choose to continue to want to hang out and go places where they used to go. So, yeah, you're going to be targeted. And Burris's place, I just think it was recklessness and it was careless. I mean, you've got a gun that you don't know how to use, clearly. You don't even know how to lock it. And you're carrying your waistband, and it accidentally goes off. You shoot yourself in the thigh, and he's just like you and I here talking about him blowing somebody else away. That's not about being confronted. That's about being reckless.
Well, you know, we do hear, as you say, that even if you're where you're supposed to be, that if you are where you're supposed to be, these kinds of things are not going to happen to you. So we'll have to see. It's a tragic situation, and it's costing him in a lot of ways.
And it's going to cost the Giants.
Absolutely. Already did, as a matter of fact. Let's talk college football. It's settled. Florida, Oklahoma, going to play in the national title game. The BCS has decided. However, Texas, who beat the Sooners head-to-head, get Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl. Longhorns crying foul, Bill. I don't know. Did the BCS get it right?
They never get it right, Tony. In fact, I stopped watching college football at this point. This is now what I call the fairy tale part of the season. You know, they need a playoff. Even the president, your president-elect, called for a playoff. Everybody knows that you need a playoff. That big-time college football is the only division in the NCAA that does not have a playoff. And it's only because of money. They're trying to keep this bogus bowl system afloat and relevant. And it's really a disservice to the people who play the games. It really is unfair.
Well, now, what about Alabama? Number one until they ran into Florida. They now face undefeated Utah in the Sugar Bowl. My question is, could a school like Utah ever win the national title, no matter how many games they win?
If you had a tournament system, yes. If you had an 18 tournament system, an 8-team tournament system, and maybe after the bowl game you choose four or six teams, yes, a team like Utah could compete. But in this circumstance, and the way this sort of Wizard of Oz make-believe system is, it's really difficult. It's a stretch. And it's the closest thing we have to fiction in the NCAA.
All right, we've got about a minute to go for more of your nonfiction stories today, Bill. This one is coming up on the weekend. Tim Tebow, is he likely to repeat as the Heisman winner? You know, Texas's Colt McCoy and Oklahoma's Sam Bradford are also finalists.
I don't think so, only because of the way Oklahoma finished up. Bradford was looking just so strong. And Tebow, his production, I mean, I think he probably had a better season this year than when he won last year. But it's very, very, very unlikely that he's going to repeat, particularly the way Oklahoma finished up very strongly, very impressively.
All right, when you come back, we're going to talk about the NBA and whether or not the Celtics and the Lakers and the Cleveland Cavaliers are really the top and who is the best team in the league. We're also going to talk about who's the best college basketball player. I did happen to catch Stephen Curry from Davidson shoot lights out at Madison Square Garden the other night, so we'll talk about that next time. All righty?
Okay.
Bill Roden, a sports columnist for the New York Times, a regular contributor to this show, joined us from the studios of NPR in New York.
That's our show for today. Thank you for sharing your time with us. To listen to the show or subscribe to our podcast, visit our website, nprnewsandnotes.org. To join the conversation or sign up for our newsletter, visit our blog at nprnewsandviews.org. News and Notes was created by NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Tomorrow, the auto bailout cleared the U.S. House of Representatives, but does it have enough support to get through the Senate? We'll have the latest in the Detroit relief efforts.